It's good to be home. I've already been in 20 cities around the world twice. And looking forward, I have a little bit of preacher's voice, so it's going to be good. I've had a couple meetings cancel. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. So it's good to be home for a month or so, and we're going to just have a great time together. And as long as we are legally permitted, I will be in this pulpit. We will never stop having service here. And if that changes, we'll let you know. So we will obey the law reluctantly if they, you know, I'm not going to chain myself to the pulpit. I'm not leaving here. We will respond. The Lord gave me this message I want to share with you. The title is, But the Lord Stood With Me. The Lord Stood With Me. I want to share a joke. I actually created this joke myself, so let me get your opinion about how it works. So Sunday school teacher is talking to her kids, and she says, who here in this class knows the name of God? And Johnny in the front row says, I do. And she says, okay, Johnny, what's God's name? And Johnny says, Howard, how in the world, Johnny, did you come up with the name Howard for God? Well, Johnny says, we say it every Sunday. Our Father, which art in heaven, Howard is your name. Okay. Hey. Just the first one. I'll get better over the years. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is an intimate book of really the heart of Paul toward the end of his life. So many great points. Let's read it together, please. Paul said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. Oh, the only good fight is the fight you win. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who love his appearing. That's all of you, by the way. Be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Christians for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. In Tychicus, sounds like an antibiotic. Someone's on. I've sent to Ephesus, bring the cloak which I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, the books, especially the parchment. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. One translation says evil. May the Lord repay him according to his works. That's as close as we come to cussing in church. The Lord repay you, brother. You must also beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word that lives and is powerful and is sharper than a two-edged sword. Let it be manna, God, for the hungry. Let it be bread and meat and milk. Feast the heart of your people. Feed faith and conquer fear. Anoint your word, your people, your servants. Have your way. Show the devil who's boss. Build faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love this for so many reasons, and I'll touch on them. I love vulnerability. That's part of the way that I became healthy as a minister, was when I became, we're kind of brutally honest, personally, publicly, and with my family, my God, people. We can only be as healthy as we are honest. There's power in vulnerability. I especially like it when powerful people are personally vulnerable and tell us that they're not perfect. And so there is a lot of imperfection on this page we just read. So Paul is wrestling with things. In fact, you can actually see the dynamics of his transition here. He's wrestling with things, and he ends at a high note. He prays himself. He preaches himself. He talks himself through it. He's going through a therapeutic journey, and he comes to a good conclusion. And it begins by him giving the imagery of his life being poured out like a drink offering. He's recognizing that there's more years behind him than in front of him, and that he may be toward the end. And he uses the other imagery of a race. I like that because I used to be a track runner. I like that. He said, I finished the race that I was given. He said, I fought the good fight. Well, the fight we have is the fight of faith. That's the fight the Bible defines as our fight. And the good fight is winning the battle of faith. And so he talks about those things and his assignment and his beautiful things. And then though he drifts into some personal issues that, can you imagine bumping into one of these guys in heaven? What's your name? Demas. Oh, man. You forsook Paul. You're in the eternal canon of scriptures for a mistake. So he talks about Demas and Titus, and he's working through some pain because Paul was vulnerable to rejection for a bunch of reasons, but part of it was he was bought into the kingdom. You know, he's on the road to Damascus, and Christ visits him, reveals himself to him, and calls him to be an apostle. And so he's introduced to the other apostles. He was the number one terrorist of the church, and he becomes an apostle. So they're reluctant to accept him, to embrace him. They had 3 years with Christ physically, and Paul had time with Christ spiritually. And so there's always some tension whenever Paul's around Peter and the other guys because they don't really consider him a part of the club. And so he battles that. He says, I'm not behind the least of the apostles. His own self-description is really interesting. And so he talks about that. And then he mentions these boys, these guys that had let him down. And he kind of throws in a little side note. Oh, and Luke's with me. Luke's with me. Just a couple of small points. Don't punish the people who have stayed with you by continuing to mourn to people that didn't. Stop punishing the people that have stayed with you by continuing to mourn the people that didn't. Here's Luke, faithful Luke. He's in the book of Acts. He's writing all of Paul's journey. He's a doctor. He's a physician. Like Deborah Hale, the woman from Nicaragua. She's a physician. And he's there every part of Paul's journey. But he's almost an afterthought because Paul's mind is occupied by what he's lost instead of what he's gained. And it's a big thing. Because we miss moments with people we love when we can't stop mourning the people that have left. Okay? Paul's mourning. The other aspect is this, and this is kind of a big thing. When people leave, when people walk away from you, let them go. Your destiny is never tied to anyone who leaves you. So, I know David would tell this story, and Pastor Joey and Judy. So, and of course, Dr. McCray and Judy Brown, through the years when people get mad at, you know, churches or people, they say, I'm leaving this place, and this place is going to collapse as soon as I leave. Well, that doesn't happen, and I wish no ill against those people. I'm a really good forgiver. That's how I stay healthy. God never allows a person authority over your destiny. Never. I don't care who they are. So when people leave, Jesus stays. Come on, it took me forever to get this. Because I went through a season of time when I had 4,500 people leave me. And I had 140 stay. And the Lord said to me, you either need to leave this church or stop mourning those that left because you are mistreating the ones that are standing with you. They wonder why you can't be happy with them instead of always mourning those that aren't. And man, it was a wake-up call. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Help me. Okay? Here's what Jesus said. Lo, I'm with you always. That's especially for people under 5 foot. Lo, I'm with you always. I'm sorry. I married a lovely short person. I love her very much. Lo, I'm with you always, even into short people got no reason. No, I'm just kidding. I love short people. God bless all of you. Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. There's nothing you can do to make God stop loving you or make him leave you. He's with you. Now, here's a couple of things. Loneliness is always a lie. This took me a long time to get. You have to be comfortable being in a season or being in a room with just yourself and Jesus. Because whenever you try to fill the slot in your heart made for Jesus with people, some people can't stand to be alone. That makes them vulnerable to constantly being with the wrong people. And you could be in a crowd of people and feel loneliness. Almost always, it's an invitation by God to say, I miss our time together. I miss our time together. Jesus said in Hebrews 13 the same thing. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that good news? David said in Psalm 124, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side. It's a big point. Here's what, see Paul's got, he's processing some stuff. And then he says, people left, oh, but the Lord stayed with me. The Lord stayed with me. The Lord stayed with me. I just want to encourage you, the Lord's with you. He's with you, he's for you, and he's never going to leave you. He's never going to leave. The second thing Paul said about that was, the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. So today we're going through a strength building exercise called the local church. It's impossible to be in a worship service like that one, to hear God's word, to pray together, and not be strengthened in the inside, like we sang in the inside. So everything about the kingdom of God is a strengthening gift, a strengthening grace, a strengthening endowment. God makes us strong. And so you have to be careful in this season to not feed your weaknesses. You have to be careful to not overfeed your fears. And we feed our faith. Christians, we do not ignore facts, but we, as believers, believe our faith is superior to our fact. And so here's what the Bible says. A couple of great scriptures. Isaiah 40 says it like this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not go weary, walk and not faint. So they that wait is the Hebrew word kovah, which doesn't mean to sit in the doctor's room, the waiting room. Kovah means to bind together by twisting. It's the picture of three cords of string being made into a rope. So it means, it's most commonly translated as hope. So let's say it like this. They that hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. When you can push past fear into hope, you start getting strong. And my encounters with God make me strong. So God's going to help. I mentioned earlier, never belittle someone who's weak. We don't make fun of people that are battling fear. We don't make fun of people that are battling weakness. But we do invite them to a healed and transformed different kind of experience. You can live a life without fear, and you can become strong even though you feel weak. In fact, Joel 3 says this, let weak people say they're strong. Let the weak say. There is this cognitive dissonance, this contradiction, this thing that offends religious people and it offends a secular society when we walk around calling things that are not as though they were. Come on. You have to look into the face of financial uncertainty and start prophesying. Thank you, God, you're going to meet all my needs. I'll have more than enough. You have to overcome fear. The Bible says, by his stripes we're healed. Well, we say we're healed before our bodies feel like it's healed. That's what faith does. Calls things that are not as though they were. Standing on God's promise, we believe God's word. And so no matter what you're facing, it's impossible to be a strong believer as long as you maintain a weak vocabulary. And God will fix the way you talk about your life, your future, your finance, your family, everything. Don't join the fearful conversation of this moment. Be a person that stands out. Everything's going to be okay. How do you know? God says so. The other idea is this about worship. And man, worship was so beautiful today. If the devil can't stop your worship, he can't steal your breakthrough. Part of the way we really triumphed over difficult seasons is to worship our way. We worship. I don't know about you, but there's been 1,000 times in a worship service when I didn't feel like it. Everybody clap your hands. I don't feel like clapping my hands. Let's all dance. You dance. You be happy. But I made myself, and about the third song in, I felt like doing what I was doing because my emotions responded to my faith. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise God. I will rejoice in the Lord. My will determines what happens in the rest of my story. The last thing, Paul said this. I love this. Matter of factly. Oh, by the way, the Lord delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. Rewind. If that's me, I have a best-selling book with me next to a dead lion saying, Paul, he just throws it in there. Oh, by the way, they fed me to a lion and God shut its mouth. Whether it was on a road, an attack, or whether it was by a terroristic, torturous event, he said this, the strongest thing I've ever faced, God shut the mouth of. See, now we're going someplace because the lion of fear is roaring. Be sober, be vigilant. Peter said this, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren around the world. God says this, you resist him and he has to flee. But Paul said this, I was delivered. Someday in your future, people will express their deepest gratitude to you for not giving up today. Your breakthrough is never just about you. It's about all the lives that will be blessed because you didn't quit. So, couple points. Paul, I love the fact that Paul said this. Please bring Mark with you. He's profitable. If you read the Bible and read especially the book of Acts, when Paul and Barnabas began their journey, Paul and Silas began their apostolic journey, they took with them a young preacher named John Mark, the writer of the book of Mark. Mark becomes discouraged. We don't think because he's physically sick. We think he's kind of homesick. And he leaves them. When he leaves them, Paul curses him and says, that guy's good for nothing. He'll never be anything in God. He washes his hands. Now, here's what God said to me years ago when I gave up on people. God said, Michael Maiden, you give up on people too easily just because they let you down or failed you. And he said this to me, I don't throw people away. Don't be so quick to give up on people because they failed you or let you down. God doesn't throw people away. Come on. He does it. And so he sends for the guy he had devalued and even you know, marked as the guy's worthless. The older he gets, the more he changes his mind about that young man. I pray this, that when we have a chance to determine our opinion about someone who's failed us or hurt us or let us down, that we choose mercy. We choose grace and say, well, they're going to be okay. God's not done with them. If someone in your world is spinning out of control, stop cursing them and just start saying, God's going to take care of them. They're going to be all right. God's going to fix them and heal them. They're going to come back. God will help us have a good attitude, a kingdom attitude, a Jesus attitude about people maybe that have hurt us or let us down. It's kind of a big thing. It's kind of, come on. This dude that wrote these words is the greatest Christian in human history. At least the most influential. He wrote 2/3 of the Bible. We're seeing his humanity, which helps us understand the thing that made him great was not his humanity, it was Jesus. We serve a great God. There are no superhuman Christians. There are no superstar Christians. We have a star named Jesus. But Paul wrote things like this, I'm not ashamed, in the book of Romans. 16 chapters, he wrote, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. He wrote this in chapter 6 of Romans. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He wrote this in chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He wrote this in chapter 8, verse 11. He said this, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies and bring life to you. He said this in verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. God bearing witness with our spirit, we're the children of God. He said this in that same chapter, all things work together for the good of them that love God, called by his purpose. He said this in that same chapter, whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn of many brethren. Whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He wrote in the same chapter, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. He said, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, not death, not life, not angels, not demons, not things present, not things to come. Nothing can take me from the grip of God's love. He said this in chapter 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove, test, know, and experience what is that good and acceptable will of God. He wrote the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, he said, let me introduce you to the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Here they are, prophecy, diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues, working of miracles, gifts of healing, supernatural faith, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning the spirits. And you can have all 9 of those. I prayed for them in the shower today. He wrote 2 Corinthians and he wrote chapter 13, the greatest chapter on love in human literature. And he said this, love is patient and kind, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, cannot fail. He said this, prophecies will fail, other things will fail, but love never fails. Now by these 3, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. He wrote chapter 14 talking about prophecy for every believer. He said prophecy must edify, encourage, and comfort. He wrote 2 Corinthians that says this in chapter 1. All the promises of God, your Bible, all those promises are in Jesus, yes and amen, to the glory of God. He said we have the mind of Christ. We can know the thoughts of God, the purpose and plans of God. He said this in chapter 10, no temptation has taken you except what is common to all men, but God is faithful, that with temptation he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. This same dude wrote the book of Galatians. He said this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He wrote this in Galatians chapter 5, and he said this, the fruit of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. Against such there is no power or law. The nature of Christ. He said this in chapter 6. He said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't faint. He wrote the book of Ephesians, the high point of the New Testament, many believe. When he said this in chapter 1, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The God of blessing who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, he said this, by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said this, we are his workmanship, his poema, one of a kind, original masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He said this in chapter 3 of Ephesians, unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond and above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He said this in Ephesians 4, that God, that Christ gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. He said this in chapter 5, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He said this in chapter 5, husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. He said, wives, respect your husbands like the church honors and respects Christ. He said this in chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He wrote the book of Colossians that says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Seek things above and set your affections on things above. He wrote the book of Philippians. In Philippians 1:6, it says this, I'm confident that he that has begun a good work in you will also finish it. Philippians says this, do not worry about anything, but pray about everything. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 says this in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19 says this, my God shall supply. I'm sorry, I got carried away. The guy that wrote those books wrote this, Demas left me. He showed us he's human. He showed us he fought rejection and pain, disappointment. And he's processing it. And I love people in process as they, you know, most of the time in counseling, you don't tell people what to do. You help them process their own journey, seeing the light that's already in them. They all left me. Oh, but the Lord stood with me. He's preaching himself better. He's talking. He's self-talking to himself. He couldn't turn on T.D. Jakes, so he's reminding himself of what he wrote to Ephesus. He's reminding himself of Romans. My God, well, we know all work all things together. If it ain't good yet, it just means God ain't done yet. He's working through it. And then he reminds himself, oh my goodness, I almost forgot to tell another human being, the Lord delivered me out of the mouth of a lion. You might have led with that, Paul. I'm sorry about Demas, but the lion thing. You what? You might emphasize that and stop worrying about him. But I'm okay because he's processing it. He's working through it. As soon as he mentions, and the Lord delivered me from the mouth of the lion. Oh my God. And God will deliver me out of every evil work. Come on. Stop rehearsing what the devil delivered you into and remind yourself of what God's delivered you out of. Come on. The Lord will deliver me. I don't care what the devil throws at you. We serve a God by nature is a deliverer. He's a deliverer. Heaven loves to do its best for you when hell sends its worst against you. Just a couple of verses. David said this in Psalm 34. I sought the Lord. I praise God for every time I haven't needed something and I've come to God. God, I'm in a great mood today. Everything's going good. Just here to love you. That happened twice. When I was 19, and the rest of the times when I've come to God, there's been some stuff. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. I was up playing my piano, prophesying. I think my wife listened to me. I had the best worship services when no one's there. I literally worship my way into a deliverance meeting last night. Wow. God talking to me. Beautiful stuff. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me out of all my fears. You know, this lovely couple, you know, I've been in 20 cities already. I've been around the world twice already this year in 8, 10 weeks, whatever it's been. When you do things like that, you're often in vulnerable places and vulnerable moments. I've learned to live fearless by crying out to God when I feel fear. I sought the Lord and he heard me. I was fighting some things last night, not about the virus, it's just some family stuff. And you know, if you want to be a lifelong intercessor, have a baby. If you want to be a prayer warrior, get married. If you really want to be a Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, Dell-stomping prayer warrior, have a child. And I'm praying and just crying out for my kids, and I just and the Lord lifted fear out of me. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me out of all my fears, out of coronavirus fear. The greatest, we're praying for miracles for people that have the virus. But the greatest impact of the virus is fear. And God will help you be fear-free when you just cry out to him. He said the same, I'm all done, but he said a couple more things about overcoming. In verse 7, he said this, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, reverently worship him, and delivers them. We were on a flight that got really turbulent, and that just happens. I fly 40 weeks a year, and stuff happens, and I'm sleeping through it. And I know it offends everybody close to me. How could you sleep through this? You don't understand. The moment I got on this plane, a bunch of angels did too. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're bringing, but me got me a little posse. I slapped that plane. I said, every time I get on, I slap the plane going in. Let's get on, angels. Come on. Let's go on. The angel of the Lord. The idea of this encampment was this. In antiquity, when an important person would travel, they would set up their tent when they're traveling, and they would put a circle of warriors around them, then go out another 10, 15 feet and put another concentric circle, another circle, and they would have 5, 6, 7, 10 circles, 12 circles. To get to the guy, you had to break through 10 ranks of soldiers. And around you are concentric circles. Some of you got 100 angels because you're trouble. The angel of the Lord, sorry, encampeth around those who fear him. Verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears. Come on, half my prayer time is not in King James English. It's like, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. (clears throat) 25 years ago, God showed me this chapter. This next verse changed my life. As a young preacher, I never claimed verse 19. Lord, the word says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. I don't have enough afflictions, Lord. I'm standing and believing. No, I found out the world's broken. Satan is alive. And sometimes things aren't right. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Okay, I'm with you there. But the problem is half of the Western church puts a period there instead of a comma. But the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. Come on, someone give God a shout of praise in this church today. Come on, stand your feet and give God a shout of praise.